Rahman Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, sisters, we will have the class related about marriage. And actually, the title of the class is Marriage, a Reality of Success. Actually, at the beginning, sisters, we must know what is the goal of this class. The goal of this class is to know that marriage is the most important event in the life of the human being. And so we have to be very critical regarding our marriage. We must know the rules of the marriage. We must know the goal of our marriage. We must know our duties and responsibilities in our marriage. And we must know about our religion, Islam, and its relation with the marriage. And actually, I have to clarify to you a fact at the beginning, which every one of us must remember. The road to success in marriage is not straight. There is a curve called failure, and there is a loop called confusion, and there are caution lights called the kids. And actually, but if you have a spare called determination, an engine called love and affection, and an insurance called faith, a driver called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will make marriage a reality of success. Okay? And inshallah, now I will start with you with a story. And I want every one of you to listen to the story and to try to have her point of view regarding this story. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. Tell you the story at the beginning so that inshallah you will start to feel about the marriage, and that the marriage is always actually a topic which we need to reflect on and we need to be critical with it. Actually, the story is called Carry Me in Your Arms. I am giving you this story at the beginning of the class, and inshallah I will tell you why I started with this story. The story, the one who is saying the story is the husband. The husband is saying, when I got home that night, as my wife served dinner, I held her hand and said, I have got something to tell you. She sat down and ate quietly. Again, I felt the hurt in her eyes. Suddenly, I don't know how to say it, but I had to let her know what I am thinking. I want a divorce. I raised the topic calmly. She didn't seem to be annoyed of my words. Instead, she asked me softly, why? I avoided her question. This made her angry. She shouted at me, you are not a man. That night, we didn't talk to each other. She was crying. I knew she wanted to find out what had happened to our marriage. But I could hardly give her a satisfactory answer. I had lost my heart to a lovely girl whom I am planning to marry soon. I didn't love my wife anymore. With a deep sense of guilt, I drafted a divorce agreement which stated that my wife could own the house, the car, 30% shares of my company. My wife glanced at it and then tore it to pieces. She cried loudly in front of me, which was a kind of relief. The idea of divorce, which I hid for several weeks, seemed to be clearer now. Next day, she presented her divorce conditions. She didn't want anything from me, but she needed a month's notice before the divorce. During that month, we both must struggle to live as normal life as possible. Her reasons were simple. Our son has his exams in a month's time, and she didn't want to disturb with our broken marriage. But she had something more. She asked me to recall how I had carried her into our bridal room on our wedding day. She requested that every day for the month's duration, that I carry her out of our bedroom to the front door every morning. I agreed, but I thought she was going crazy. On the first day, as I carried her for 10 meters in my arms, our son clapped behind us. Daddy is holding mommy in his arms. His words bring a sense of pain. On the second day, both of us acted much more easily, but I start to realize that I hadn't looked at this woman carefully for a long time. She is not young anymore. There were fine wrinkles on her face. Her hair was gray. Our marriage had taken its toll on her. On the fourth day, when I lifted her up, I felt a sense of intimacy returning. This was the woman who had given 15 years of her life to me. On the fifth and the sixth day, I realized that our sense of intimacy was growing again. It became more easy for me to carry her as the months slipped by. I suddenly realized that she must lost a lot of weight, and that is the reason why I could carry her more easily. On the 20th day, when I wake up, my son said, "My father, it is the time to carry my mother out." To him, to see his father carrying his mother out of the bedroom becomes an essential part of his life. My wife hugged him tight. I turned my face away because I was afraid this might change my mind at the last minute. I then held her in my arms, walking from the bedroom to the hall, way through the sitting room. Her hand surrounded my neck softly and naturally. I held her body tightly. It was just like our wedding day. But her much lighter weight made me sad. On the last day, when I held her in my arms, I could hardly move a step. Our son had gone to school. I held her tightly and I said, "I hadn't noticed that our life lacked intimacy. I drove to office. I made my mind. I don't want to divorce anymore." I said to myself, my marriage life was boring, probably because she and I didn't value the details of our lives, not because we didn't love each other anymore. Now I realize that since I carried her into my home, in our wedding day, I am supposed to hold her until one of us departs this world. On my way home, I ordered a bouquet of flowers for my wife. On the card of flowers, I wrote, "My lovely wife, I will carry you every morning until the last day of my life." Dearest sisters, every one of us try to get the benefit of this story. Let us try to become closer to each other. Let us live the details of our life together. Let us have some time for our feelings to renew and flourish. Let us write cards and messages of love and kindness to each other. Let us feel the warmth in our hearts through our companionship. Let us support each other because we deeply need each other. Let us forget about creating an environment of happiness through having big house or new car. Instead, let us feel and live the real happiness through building the bridges between our spirits. So sisters, inshallah, according to this story, inshallah, we will have today our discussion about marriage, how to live marriage as a source of happiness, source of tranquility, an act of worship, and a trust in our life, so that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower us with His blessings and mercy, and inshallah our marriage will be our way to the paradise inshallah. Now I will tell you about the items of our topic. I hope the time will be enough to give you some time for questions. Actually, now I clarified to you about the road of success. Then I will clarify, inshallah, to you about marriage and love, Islam and marriage, the right choice, the secret word, a message to, and inshallah, we will have questions. I want, inshallah, every one of you to answer it. Then we will have, inshallah, question and answer session. I think we'll finish by Fajr prayer. Some of you are not married. Alhamdulillah, this is very good. Because actually to know about marriage, you know, and about actually the reality of marriage as a trust, and also as an act of worship, it's very beneficial, so that inshallah when you marry you will have a successful marriage life. The problem is not to marry, the problem is to live the correct and the right and the happy marriage life. Actually nowadays every day you hear about a case of divorce. In our Muslim countries the divorce now is 50% of the marriage cases, and it is mostly in the first year of life. Okay, yes, first year of the marriage. Okay, subhanallah, because, you know, no one is aware about, you know, his or her responsibility. Everyone wants, you know, to feel that, you know, he is the winner in the marriage. And because of that, you know, marriage will not continue, because marriage actually is a company. The winner is the one who gives more. Not the winner is the one who takes more. So if both partners in the company are having the goal to take only, it will break very easily. Okay? So let us now know, start about love and marriage, so that inshallah every one of us will be aware about this reality. This is very important, especially for the wife, for the woman, to know about the relation between marriage and love. Okay? All of us sisters agree that love is one of the greatest blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on humanity. Allah has created human nature in such a way that love is the nutrition of the spirit and the source to be a healthy, living and active and a happy one. In reality, the feeling of true love brings the greatest pleasure to the spirit, especially the woman. Because of the nature of the woman, which is that the women are very emotional. Okay? And actually they are highly affected by the feeling. In Islam, marriage is a blessed contract between a woman and a man, in which each become permitted to the other, and they begin a long journey of life in a spirit of love, cooperation, and comfort in the company of one another. Marriage is the strongest bond in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites the two Muslim partners who come together on the basis again of love, understanding, cooperation, and mutual advice to satisfy their needs together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually made the marriage the way for every woman and every husband, every wife and husband to satisfy their needs. Okay? And also to feel that they are one person. And also to have the affection and the mercy as the most important factor in the marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ar-Rum, Surah number 30, verse number 31, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. And among his signs is that he created for you wives from among yourselves, that you may find repose in them, and he has put between you affection and mercy. Okay, so you know, sisters, we Muslims must have this verse of the Quran as the basic rule for our marriage. What are the rules Quranic rules in these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that He created for you wives from among yourselves. Okay? So, you and your husband are one spirit. You can, actually, you and your husband, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, whatever is missed in that half, it will be added by the other half. Okay? You are not similar. But you can make one spirit together. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this, number one, is that there is harmony. And there is such psychological and physical and mental abilities which are similar between you and your husband, but they are not the same. Okay? You complete each other. Okay? He is sometimes very nervous. You must be calm. When you are upset, he must try, you know, to get you, to give you, you know, nice time, or, you know, to get you out. Okay? So what you must believe in is that you and your husband are from one spirit. Okay? We are not enemies. This is very important. This is, you know, the rules which I have to have it in my spirit. When I will marry a man, he is not my enemy. He is the second part of my spirit. We will have some differences, yes, because we are two parts of the same spirit. But basically, we have the same psychological, physical, and mental abilities. We must live in harmony. This has to be clear in my spirit. I have to tell to myself before marriage, be ready to live in harmony with your husband. Be ready to accommodate. Be ready to tolerate. Be ready to accept, forgive, and forget. Why? Because we are two parts of the same spirit. We are one. Both of us together are one person. Sister, this feeling is not the feeling of the weakness. No, this is the feeling of the real power. Because when you feel that me and my husband are one person, inshallah, there will be no way for the shaitan to come between you and your husband at all. When the shaitan will come and tell you, your husband is always late at night, he is not caring for you, maybe so and so, you tell to yourself, I seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan. Allah said in the Quran that me and my husband are from one spirit. So inshallah, everything will be alright. Even if my husband is not a good shape now, we are one spirit. I must help him to be out of, you know, whatever not good going on. I must support him. I must take care of him. This is because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. One spirit, not two enemies. Everyone is looking for the mistakes of the other one to prove that the other one is not good and I am the good and I am the sacrificing and I am the supporting and I am the victim. No, sisters. This is why most of the marriages are not successful, because the basic feelings are not clear. This is how we have to teach our daughters. Our daughters must grow up with this feeling. Marriage equals to two halves of one spirit. You and your husband will be one spirit. Actually, this belief will make you critical when you choose your husband. When you believe in this, that me and him are one spirit, inshallah, we will live together forever. Inshallah, we will accommodate, tolerate, help, support each other. This will put you in the responsibility of the choice of the one whom I can have all these feelings with him all my life. In spite of the fact sometimes he is not doing good things, sometimes he is neglecting, sometimes he is far away, sometimes he is not spending, he has a lot of mistakes, but when I choose him, I was aware that me and him will be one human being, one person, one spirit. I was aware that I will tolerate and I will accommodate and I will forget and I will forgive. This was clear for me before marriage. So when I choose him, I choose my husband to be the person whom I can have all these feelings for him. This is the meaning of the first part of the verse of the Quran, that Allah created for you wife or husband from among yourselves, so that you can find repose in them. Again and again, this is the word repose in them, sisters, means that the second in Arabic. What is the meaning of the second? The meaning is that suppose today someone will come and tell you, we will spend the whole day in gallery, the whole day, okay? And you will move from one store to one store, you will enjoy the whole day in gallery, okay? But by 8 p.m., you were out from 10 to 8, you will tell to your friend, I want to go home, my bed, okay? I want to reach home, because whatever happiness you feel outside, in a minute, you will need your home. Because in your home, you are your reality. Outside home, we are always not our reality. We put clothes, we put masks, we put feelings. But when I am home, I am the real. So I need home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created your husband for you to that you find repose in him. What is the meaning of that? The meaning is that I find my reality with my husband. The only person in life I am supposed to feel real is my husband. This is actually a relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't live with a man whom I am acting with him, or I try to be very beautiful all the time, or I try to show that I am thinner than my reality, or I have... No! Subhanahu wa ta'ala created the husband and created the wife so that number one, we feel that we are two parts of one spirit. Number two, we are real. With all the people I can show, you know, more kindness, more nice behavior, this and that. But with my husband, all praise to Allah, we must be real. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I will find repose. Second is tranquility, calmness, reality, the truth. I am myself. So you will always feel relaxed when you feel yourself. When you are without any masks, without any acting, without any I have to. Okay? So this is number two. You must choose a man whom with him you feel yourself. Okay? Number three, and inshallah you must feel this with your husband. Number three, Allah said, and this is, you know, in the English, Allah has put between you affection and mercy. What is the meaning of Allah has put? Okay, the meaning is that, sisters, every one of you must check with herself, okay? At the time of engagement, remember the feeling of happiness, love, and attachment, and kindness which you both feel towards each other, okay? These beautiful feelings were the stimulus for the marriage, okay? So the question is, are you still feeling the same affection, mercy, kindness, and love to your husband, which you have it at the time of engagement? Okay, some sisters will answer no. Most of the sisters will say no. And in reality, I don't have any of these feelings with him at the time of engagement. No, this is wrong. So why you marry him? Why you marry him? Yes, this is how I have to, you know, to realize the truth with myself. Where is the mistake? Where is the problem? I must find where is my own problem. Okay? When I marry my husband, when every one of us married, she married because she wants to marry. She chose to marry. It was freedom. Marriage without your agreement is not legal in Islam. Okay? So you must be aware that you were the one whom you want to marry. All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. At that time, did you have affection, mercy, love, kindness? Alhamdulillah. You must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has put affection, mercy between every husband and wife before marriage. So that the marriage will be based on a strong base. Affection and mercy, truth, and two parts of one spirit. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making every marriage. Allah has put affection and mercy. But it is us, you or me, our husbands, every spouse, okay, we are the one whom we forget about this fact. There is no marriage in life except with these four factors. Two parts of one spirit, you find the truth and the reality with your spouse. Number three, affection and mercy. And again, remind yourself with the affection and mercy at the time of engagement. Okay? So, if this was the beginning of the marriage and the base of the marriage, it is the duty of every one of us to keep the love and affection and mercy which was there. Because some sisters will tell you, okay, I can't get it back. It was not there. No, it was there. And you can get it. Inshallah, with the help of Allah, when you realize the truth about marriage, when you realize how Islam actually evaluates marriage as an act of worship, inshallah, it will be very easy for you to have the feeling of affection, mercy, respect, kindness to your partner or to your husband, inshallah. Okay, so inshallah now, we want to get back the feeling of the affection and mercy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put between every husband and wife from day one of marriage, but unfortunately we lost it. Okay, in order to have the affection and mercy, we must know about the Islamic concept of marriage. Sisters, this is not, you know, some extra knowledge. No, sister. Any Muslim sister, before marriage, okay, this is the fundamental knowledge about marriage. Otherwise, why we are marrying? Why there is marriage in life? Okay, why marriage in Islam is different than other marriage? Okay, why in Islam, you know, the wife will have a lot of reward through her marriage? Now I will clarify to you about, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, about one of the very important, you know, reward for the wife from the marriage. And that reward is for the wife, not for the husband. To clarify to you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful towards the women and the wife in Islam. I will clarify to you soon. So actually the knowledge which you are learning now, this is the basic knowledge which every Muslimah must learn before marriage, so that inshallah she can have the plan clear for her marriage. She is ready for marriage or she is not ready for marriage. Okay? So that we will not have, you know, that the percentage of divorce is increasing every day. Now, number one, in order to know the Islamic concept of marriage, you must believe, sister. This is one of the, you know, of the beliefs in Islam, that marriage is an act of worship. Okay, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you pray, as you fast, as you give charity, these are all acts of worship. Marriage is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, I will give you the proof. Alhamdulillah. Whatever I will tell you from the Quran, I will give you the proof. Now, sister, let us look to this verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, verse number 162, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, my prayers, my worship, my living and my dying are for Allah, God alone, the Lord of all the worlds. Okay? This must be, you know, the belief of the Muslim. Okay? I am living my life, I am doing my worship, my living and my dying are for Allah. What is the meaning for Allah? The meaning for Allah is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means that obeying Allah's commands, looking for Allah's pleasure, my reward is only from Allah. All the deeds of the believer in Islam must be following this criteria. When you tell me, Sister Mona, why you are coming to give us this class, I tell you I am obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have some knowledge, I must convey it to my sisters in Islam, so I am obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am looking for Allah's pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when I follow the command of Allah, this will lead to Allah's pleasure, God's pleasure. Then you will tell me, okay, Sister Mona, how you will get your reward? I will tell you, sister, again and again, my prayer, my worship, my living, my dying are for God alone. I am getting my reward only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything. So when I am looking for anything, I am looking for it only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three criteria, sisters, must be, you know, the criteria for every deed and every saying When one sister will come and tell me now, Sister Mona, my problem is so and so and so, what do you think? I will tell to myself, Mona, when you answer her, okay, you must answer her obeying the commands of Allah. Your answer must lead to Allah's pleasure because obeying His commands, and my reward is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not looking for the sister to be happy or to say, MashaAllah, Sister Mona has knowledge, or MashaAllah, Sister Mona helped me. I don't care and I don't look for any reward from the human beings. My reward is only from Allah because this is the command of Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to all the believers. Or your deeds or your sayings must be to obey Allah, look for His pleasure, never to look for a reward from a human being. When you will look for a reward from the human being, this means that you get your reward from the human being. You will not get any reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I come to this meeting with the intention that I am looking for very nice words from the sisters, then the sisters will tell me, Sister Mona, jazakallah khair, this is very nice, whatever. Okay, I got my reward. All my effort will be zero in the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I was looking for a reward from human being. True believers only look for the reward from the only owner, planner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now I have to apply this to my marriage. Okay, now Allah is saying that my living is for the sake of Allah. My marriage is part of my living. Okay, so it will be, regarding my husband, in my marriage, all my sayings and my deeds towards my husband are an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between me and my husband all the time, in every word and in every action, in every deed. Okay? So, number one, I will be obeying the commands of Allah towards my husband. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell me, respect your husband with love and affection, I will respect him. When my sister will tell me, Mona, what is this? Obeying for your husband? I tell her, no. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because my marriage is an act of worship to Allah. I am getting the commands from Allah. I am following the commands for the sake of Allah. Looking for the pleasure of Allah. Not looking for the pleasure of my husband. My husband is out of the equation. For the true believer, human beings are out of the equation. The true believer is living or she's living her life according to this rule. For Allah. My prayer, my worship, living, I'm dying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator and the owner. He knows everything. His will is the only will in this life. So His will is the will which is controlling my life. So I am living my life according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The controller of everything, the one whom inshallah I will meet Him on the day of judgment, hoping that because of this verse of the Quran, inshallah I will be in the paradise. This is very simple equation of the life of the true believer. This will make your life, alhamdulillah, the life of the true believer. Life full of calmness, tranquility, you are very content, you are always patient, you are accepting everything. Why? Because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with my husband, inshallah, I will be obeying all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking for Allah's pleasure. My reward is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I will give you an example now, sister, for this. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this happened to me personally. I was working and I was a pediatrician and I finished 4 years of training in neonatology and I was having every third night call. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much effort and days and nights I live in the neonatal intensive care unit. Then my husband, gradually, he is always telling me, you are neglecting your daughter, you are neglecting your... One day he told me, either home or highway. There was no highway at that time. Okay? So, at that time, you know, I don't have a choice. It was not my choice at that time. I don't have this knowledge. You see, sister, this is the importance of the knowledge. So I said to myself, you know, I can't drive in the highway, to tell you the truth. I will stay at home. But I didn't stay at home while I was happy or accepting or for Allah's sake or anything. I stayed at home because I have to. You see? Then when I stayed at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His mercy sent for me, you know, some sisters, you know, to read the tafsir of the Quran, to learn about the Quran. I start to study Islam and to read about Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me to know this rule. At that time, I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, forgive me. I don't have the knowledge at that time. I will obey your commands, which you are sending it to me through my husband. I am staying at home now, alhamdulillah. I am content. I am accepting. I am looking for the reward from you, not from my husband. Because I stayed at home as an act of worship for you, and I will obey the commands of my husband. When I was working, I was leaving my house at 7 o'clock, and I will return. If I return at 7 p.m., I was having someone helping me at home. When I stayed at home, okay, I was still having someone to help at home, and my husband was all the time in the hospital. And I was all the time alone. And I was all the time, you know, feeling that what can I do for this? What is the aim of me to stay at home while my kids are in the school? This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gradually, I start to realize that I must forget about my husband. My husband is part of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must live my life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for me to stay at home for my good. This is inshallah something good for me. I must get the benefit of it. I must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this is the time I start to change 180 degrees. As a human being, I must obey all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with me. I must be free from the control of the human beings. Because if I obey my husband, then my husband will come at 7 p.m. at night. I will tell him, can you sit with me for half an hour? I am alone the whole day. He will tell me, I am so exhausted. I want to sleep. So what I am supposed to do? How I will obey Allah. So, you must get your husband out of the equation if you are living for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If my husband tell me I am tired, I will sleep, I will tell him good night. I am a true believer that my marriage is an act of worship for the sake of Allah. Then I will pray Maghrib prayer, I will start to read some Quran or to help my daughter to study. I am content. Why? Because I am content, because this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah, oh Allah, I will be patient. Okay, I will not fight with my husband or tell him come and sit with me or tell him what are my rights and this and that. Never. Why? Because I am looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not looking for the reward from any human being. Again and again, sisters, this must be the golden rule for success of the marriage. The golden rule for you to success as a human being in life. Don't depend on your life on any human being to be the source of happiness, to be the source. No. My life is an act of worship. All my life is an act of worship. With my husband, with my kids. I take care of my kids and I sacrifice for them everything, not for them to tell me thank you or for them to be pleased with me or because I am obeying their commands. No, there is no human being in my life to give me commands or to look for a reward from him. As a true believer, my life, my living, my dying is for Allah. I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise to Allah. I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only power. I am living my life with the only power. I am not living my life with the powerless human being. One day my husband is happy with me. He will tell me, thank you very much, I love you. Oh, I will be a big balloon. Next day, my husband will tell me, oh, I don't like to stay at home anymore. Yes, this is the nature of the human being. Up and down, up and down, up and down. So, I am not, you know, I am not a rock. I am a human being. I have a spirit. My spirit is connected with the only power. My spirit is connected with the source of mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My husband is a mean for me to be obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I do, I never look for the reaction of my husband. No. This is none of my business. He is happy, thank you very much. She is not happy, may Allah make you happy. But it never reached my heart. Yes, my heart is very satisfied because I am successful to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sister, this is the medicine for the happy marriage life. Always put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between you and your husband. In every deed, in everything. You obey all the commands. You prepare the food in the best shape. Then your husband will come and tell you, I already ate outside. You tell him, thank you very much. You collect the food. Alhamdulillah. You will be rewarded from Allah for the cooking. And all praise to Allah. Tomorrow you will not cook. Yes, you will put it in the refrigerator. Alhamdulillah. Okay? What the most of the wives are doing, they will fight, and why? You don't respect me. What is the meaning of this? The meaning is the meaning which you understand. Understand whatever you like. You know, sisters, we need to use our mind. I must use my mind. And I must be always logic. If he didn't eat today, he doesn't eat today, he will eat tomorrow. What is the problem? Okay? But you know, our problem, sister, is the self. Myself. Myself, I cook for the whole day. If he will not eat, this means that he doesn't respect myself, care myself, look myself, I am very upset for yourself. Wrong. The true believer is only upset when you are not obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But so long that, alhamdulillah, Allah is helping you to do all the good deeds for His sake. Allah is helping you that you are not angry when your husband is not appreciating. Allah is helping you that you never look for a reward from a human being. Sister, this is very good for the spirit. I am not waiting for a nice word from my husband or from my daughter or from my friend. No. I am sure what great reward Allah is giving me in this life, and this is the paradise. Alhamdulillah, I am on my steps to the paradise. But in this life, all praise to Allah. The more I obey Allah, the more Allah is showering me with His mercy. Mona, be calm. Mona, be patient. Mona, go and pray good prayer and I will give you a lot of mercy in the prayer. Mona, go and teach Islam to the sisters and be busy with good deeds, which you will find mountains of good deeds on the Day of Judgment because of what you are doing. This is how we have to handle our life. My life is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sister is the golden rule, which you either follow it or it will be very difficult for any wife or even for any husband to keep your heart clean towards your husband. It is not the problem to live long time with your husband. This is not the problem. Living with other people with total careless attitude is very easy. But true believers are not careless. True believers are the people whom they have the clean heart all the time. I must have a clean heart towards my husband all the time. How to have it? When I have Allah between me and him. I am doing a lot of effort. No appreciation from my husband. No. I was not looking for this appreciation. I was looking for Allah's pleasure. Alhamdulillah. Allah is pleased with me because I am obeying the command. My heart is very clean and I am in a very high spirit. Okay? Your husband is not bringing for you a ring or a flower or anything. Okay? There is no reward at all. Even a nice word, no problem. Because my reward is not from a human being. My reward is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the controller of the hearts. When Allah will reward me, Allah will reward me healthy spirit. Allah will reward me good lifetime. Allah will reward me good health in my body. Allah will reward me to live with Him, my life very close to Him. Alhamdulillah. Close to the only power in life. Alhamdulillah. Whenever I look to the human being, I feel sympathy for them. Only sympathy. Because they are away from the only source of mercy and power. They are living to fight with each other. To get the reward from each other. To get the blessing from each other. To feel happy through each other. No. The true believer never feel happy.
You're making me nervous. I'm going to put this over here, okay?
True believers never feel happy through the relation with the people, sisters. Because one day maybe my husband will die, my kids will die, or my kids will marry. I will lose. In our life, there is no guarantee that you can have any continuous relationship except the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. I can be in continuous relation with Allah. So I must have the direct correct relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise to Allah. So all my relation with the people, I put Allah in between. In everything, you always follow these rules. I am obeying the commands of Allah. I am looking for Allah's blessing. So long that you obey the commands, this one will lead to two. Number three, the true believer is always sure of the reward. Allah will send for you all the time a message of mercy in your spirit that you are following the right way. Allah will support you. Have the hope for tomorrow. Everything will be alright. The only power is supporting. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important reward for any spirit in the worldly life. Balanced, stable, having a goal, very clear, moving to the right path. Alhamdulillah. You can't have this except through the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Living with the human being will never leave your spirit balanced or relaxed or healthy, because human beings are not stable, especially nowadays. So sisters, try all the time to learn this rule. I have time with this one because actually this is the most important rule for a healthy spirit and for a righteous true believer. Everything between me and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we come to the class, alhamdulillah. Not all the sisters show up, alhamdulillah. I know most of them, I will meet them in the class of Monday or Wednesday, alhamdulillah. Do you think that I will tell them, sisters, what is going on? Why you promised to come and you didn't come? This, never! I come for the sake of Allah. Alhamdulillah, obeying the command of Allah. Looking for Allah's pleasure, I have the reward. All praise to Allah. Every second I am mentioning the name of Allah, I am rewarded. Every second I am in the house of Allah, I am rewarded. Every second I am teaching the knowledge of Allah, I am rewarded. All praise to Allah. Human beings are not around in the life of the true believers. Always try, sister, this is not an easy concept, but try to start. Try to start. When you go home late today and your husband tell you, for example, where you are late, okay, tell him, have a nice night. This is the only answer. He will tell you how you are so relaxed. I'm very upset. Tell him, do you want a cup of tea? Do you want a piece of cake? Yes. Never to respond. Why? Because I am obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With my husband, I must have the best manners. Not for him, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I always feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My husband start to give me, you know, a hard time or questions. In the same second, Allah is sending the relief for me. Obey the commands, obey the commands. He is a human being. He is powerless.
It's applying to what you just said. Say he asks, why are you late? You're not supposed to answer the question because you're not being obedient if he's asking you the question.
He is not asking why you are late. This is not the meaning. Why? He knows that you are in the market. But his question is that, for example, if you are supposed to be home by 7:30, why you didn't come home by 7:30? This is the meaning of the question.
Okay.
You know, why you didn't excuse and leave to be at home in the proper time? You get my point? This means that why you are not obedient to my commands. And he can say it in a way which will make you to feel that you are a slave. You know, and this is the problem of many wives. You know, my husband is talking to me as if I am his slave. Why you are late? Why you didn't come in time? Why you don't prepare the food? Why everything is not in place? You know, this language. Okay? When you hear this language, this is, you know, the... I will give you a solution for this language. When he will say this language to you, don't feel upset. Don't feel that, oh Allah, this tough man, what can I do with him? Oh Allah, why my luck is not good? You know, this kind of feeling. No. Tell to yourself, all praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah. The test. I am in the test. To prove that my marriage is an act of worship. I will never reply. I will reply in the best reply which Allah commanded me to. I will tell him, my husband, I am very sorry. Excuse me. I don't want you to be upset. You know, I will act in a way which will make him, you know, to be calm. The one in front of you will not have any way with you. He is shouting and you are telling him, do you want coffee? Do you want tea? Do you need anything? I am very sorry. I don't want you to be upset. And you are not saying this, sister, why you are nervous or why. No, no, no. You are saying this because you have a clean heart. When you are living your life as an act of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your spirit to have a big space. Maybe I am late. Maybe I was supposed to call him. Maybe I was the one who did the mistake. Yes, yes, yes. No problem. No problem. You will be having always the word no problem with the human beings. Yes. Because you are living at a higher level. You are living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are human beings. He is shouting. He is not supposed to shout. He is not supposed to use tough language. But he, because he doesn't know. And they all praise to Allah, you know. You know that I must follow the commands of Allah. The commands of Allah is that you must be having good manners with everyone. Even if you have different point of view, even whatever, we must have good manners. This is also one of the manners of Islam which most of the Muslims are not following. I must have good manners. I am frustrated, I am upset, I am angry. I must use the right language and I must have good manners because this is to live the life according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must have the good language with everyone. Okay? People are good, people are bad, none of my business. My business is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, you can have this kind of action and you can live your life as an act of worship. Number one, you need to renew your intention. You can renew your intention. Oh Allah, I want to renew my intention. I want to live my marriage, my life as an act of worship to you, and I want to live my marriage as an act of worship for you. I don't know before, but inshallah from today I am looking for your help and your support to help me to live my life and my marriage as an act of worship. Gradually, you will feel that your reactions are changed totally. And inshallah you will see this. And actually, I was a very nervous person. And alhamdulillah, nowadays, all praise to Allah, especially with my husband. Alhamdulillah. I am always, you know, saying, okay, what? Even my husband is telling me, before you hear what I am saying to you, you are saying, okay, I will do it. This makes me very nervous. You see, I told him, this is my only way. I will always okay, and I will always obey, and I will tell to myself, not to him, for the sake of Allah. Not for your sake, for the sake of Allah. I must be obeying the commands of Allah, because I can't live my life without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How I will pray, and in the sujood I will call on Allah if I am not obeying Allah. I can call and call on Allah for whatever I am looking for, so long I am obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am proving to Allah, oh Allah, I am tolerating, I am silent, not responding, I am fulfilling all the trust. Now, oh Allah, in my prayer, I am looking for this and that and this and that. Alhamdulillah. Yes.
When you mentioned that to your husband, you always say, everything will be okay, everything is all right, and he is angry, he is shouting. So how you convey your opinion? Iman, you're a human being too, so how, you not always say, I'm okay, I'm doing it, yeah, I read your mind, yes, you know, I'm patient, I'm always stepping back and let him do. How you handle that? That's just not, I don't feel that's real life, or is this, you always step back?
No, I tell you, you will not always step back. No, you are more strong than...
Yeah, you are the one, always the one that should be patient. You are the one to have the manners. You are the one saying, everything is okay, I'll give you a cup of tea or something like that. But it's not always like that. How you bring across, honey, this is what happened. This is what, you know, this is my opinion.
Yes, I will tell you. When your husband will realize that you will not fight back, you know, and you will not make the problem bigger. Okay, it is always that after some time he will calm down and then he will come to talk with you in a nice way. At that time, when he is again, you know, in the calm mood, you can tell him, I want to tell you that the truth is so and so, and that you will doing so and so, but I was patient, because, you know, I have to be patient for the sake of Allah, okay, and I was patient because I always must have good manners, okay, so that he will realize that sometimes he is not having good manners. You will give him the message when he is calm, and you will give it to him in a, you know, friendly environment. Okay? Our problem in our marriage is that when he is nervous, I will be nervous. At the same time, then we will have a big fight. You know? And gradually, we will hate each other. Because whenever we fight, we are, you know, two enemies. But when you have, and you know, but when you actually have yourself always to be the one, you are calm and you are patient, okay, by time your husband will realize that your nature is changing. You will never reply, you will never say anything. So he will try always to control himself. He will not be in the same way like before, nervous and tough and shouting, because he realized that, you know, you have now a new attitude. Okay, this is what is happening, this is what happens to me. When my husband realized that I am not nervous anymore, I am not replying anymore, I am always, so he starts to calm down with me, you know. And whenever he is nervous, after half an hour, when he is in a good mood, he will come and tell me, can you explain to me why this was, you know, in a totally different language. And again, I want to tell you one thing. When you do this with your husband, okay, you are teaching him not to use wrong language with you. You see, I will never reply to someone shouting, or someone frustrated, or someone, you know, angry. I will not reply to this. Okay? Take your time, then we can talk. So next time he will learn how to respect you. Okay? He can't shout to the head of the office. He can't shout to any human being. Why to shout to the wife? You see, so the husbands need that your wife and always also your husband, they are the number one person whom we need to respect each other. Because we are very close to each other. How we can love each other and support each other if there is no respect? Okay? So believe me, this, you know, strategy of never replying to anyone shouting to you. Number one, your husband and any other person. Whenever anyone shouts to you,
Dr. Manu told me that with a particular person who used to yell and get extremely angry, that just, because I would get really angry too, and she'd say, just then don't say anything. Just force yourself to don't say anything, do thicker, whatever you have to do, but just don't say anything. And then go, if you have to, go in the other room and read Quran, or just go do wudu, but just don't say anything. And actually, it threw this person off, and he realized that it just wasn't getting him anywhere. He still does it. It's still hard. It's still really hard not to get mad.
Yes, but I want to tell you one thing also. I want you always to remember it. Okay? The very big problems in marriage always start with a very, a small conversation. You know? Suppose he is very angry, and then you become very angry. He said one word, you give the other one, then, you know, there will be a big disaster. When the big disaster will happen, you will tell to yourself, why I didn't control my tongue for 1 minute? Why? Then you start to say, I apologize. No. Yes. Always control yourself. Don't ask the others to control themselves. Control yourself. You will be rewarded. Number one, you will be rewarded because you are patient. This is how to learn patience. Patience is half of the belief. You can't be a believer except when you have patience. How to have patience? To have patience when you forget about yourself. When someone come and tell me, Mona, this and that. Who is Mona? Mona is some dust. Let them say. Whatever. Yes.
But what if you're patient and you say okay and you don't say anything and the situation passes and everybody just moves on. He doesn't go back, but there was something that was serious or something that really needed to be pointed
out. If you want to point it to him, you know, this is up to his personality. There are some people, whatever you point out to them, they never change. You know, they are always stuck with their point of view. If you know that this is the kind of person who is stuck with his point of view, forget about it. If you know that he is the person you can have a conversation and he can discuss and change his point of view, you have to choose the best time. You know, when he is relaxed, when he is in a good mood, okay, when he is nice with you, then tell him, do you remember when you did so and so? I was not happy, I kept silent, I don't want this to be repeated, I want to discuss with you. You know, try to choose the time. But you have to be aware that the shaitan is always around with these conversations. Okay, the shaitan is there, this is the problem. Okay, he will try to make it a very big fight. And again, ask yourself, what benefit you will get when you reply back? You reply, and he reply, and you reply, and I don't like you, and I hate you, and for years and years, and why you are married, and it was a big problem in my life. Then after half an hour, you cry, and you go to the room. What will be your feeling? You need a lot of time again to have, you know, a calm spirit. And it always, I will give you the record, and it always leaves, you know, something inside your spirit. You know, this is the problem. Why? If you are planning to live with that person, inshallah, especially when you have kids, or you are planning because marriage, inshallah, must be marriage forever, this must be the intention, I must use all the precautions not to hate him. I will hate when someone every day or every week will tell me tough words. I will hate him. Even if I have to live with him, but I will not be happy. Why? I want to be happy in my marriage because I need my spirit. Why I will spoil my spirit for someone whom is not appreciating me? His problem, not my problem. Try to evaluate the issues from a different concept. Okay? Someone wants, now if I am walking in the market outside, then a man starts saying, oh, sister, sister, sister. His problem. He has a problem. I don't have a problem. Let him explain his problem to himself. I didn't hear him. Excellent. Assalamu alaikum. That's it. This is with a stranger. So I must use it with my husband. Gradually, your husband will lose the hope that you will fight with him. No way to fight with this woman. He will change his attitude. Inshallah. And at the same time, you will be doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the other great weapon with you. Supplication. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. You are living in a totally different area. You are living with Allah for the sake of Allah, doing dua to Allah, looking for the pleasure of Allah. And the human being, you know, are just some dust in life. Okay.
I was just going to add that what you're saying, what helped me, because I always responded back. When somebody got angry, it would, what they said made me angry, and what I said would make them angry, and it was like that. What made me stop and learn what you just said is the hadith where the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was sitting with a man. This other man was coming up and insulting this man that was with the Prophet. And he kept repeatedly coming back, and the man stayed calm. He didn't pay attention. But on the third time, he got angry and got up and responded in an angry way. And our Prophet, peace be upon him, got up and left. And then later, he came. He went to the to him to ask him why he got up. And he says, "When you got angry, the angels left, because that's what was keeping him calm. The angels left and the shaitan came and sat by him, and our Prophet said that he was not going to sit with him anymore because a shaitan came to sit with
him." And actually, you know who is this man? This is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. This is the best companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith which Helen just mentioned is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his best companion. A man came and he started to shout to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq kept silent. Again, the man for the second time shouted to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr kept silent. For the third time, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq replied. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became very angry and his face became red and he left the room. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, he ran after him and he told him, why you left? I didn't reply for two times. What can I do for that man? He told him, the first time and the second time, when you were not replying, the angels were replying instead of you. You see, the angels were replying for the man. Okay? The third time, when you reply, this means the shaitan came. The shaitan and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot stay in one room. So Prophet Muhammad has to leave. So again and again, you remind me with something very important. When you don't reply, the angels will reply instead of you. The angels will tell him whatever Allah knows. So why I will reply? If I have someone other than me to reply, number one, you will have the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are living your life as an act of worship, looking for the reward, you know, sister, this is the most important, the goals of life. My life from every second is the reward. Someone start to shout, let him shout. If I reply, I will not have a reward, I will have punishment. Because the shaitan will make me to reply. I don't want the shaitan to use me. I will just keep silent. And again, sister, you know, there is a very important point here, you know. The only problem in life is that someone will tell me bad words. This is the biggest problem in life nowadays. Someone will hurt my feelings. Someone, what is this? Nonsense. Life is more critical than this. You know, life is a test. I must be ready for this kind of hardship. My husband is sometimes using tough words. Let him use. That's it. Forget it completely. I am busy with other issues which are more critical and more important. I will never lose my temper for the sake of the shaitan. I am looking for every good deed. And I am a true believer. True believer must be patient. If you are not patient, you are not a true believer. You must know this. Patience is half of the belief. When you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sister, this is why I always, you know, pressurize on the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one to take the revenge from every human being. I will never reply to any human being. And the most important, I want you always to have clean heart. If today my husband tell me one word, I am upset. Tomorrow, and I am not happy with this marriage. Next day he come late from work, again I am not upset. I am not happy with this marriage. Third day, this happens. What is this kind of life? Life is a test. Life is not just relationship with the human being. That sister make me unhappy today, so I can't pray, I am not in a good mood. My husband next day, my kid third day. No, sister, this is not the worldly life for the true believer. Worldly life is more precious. Worldly life is a test which can end at any second. My life, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open my book on the day of judgment, it will be all 25th of July, fight with her husband, reply, punishment. 26th of July, fight with her husband, punishment. All your book will be punishment from your husband. He make your life hell in the worldly life and hell in the hereafter. Because you were not a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, sister, this is how we have to know about Islam. This is the most important topics in Islam. How to live our life according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to make my life an act of worship. How I will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I have anger in my spirit, very upset, I am the biggest victim on the earth, then Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I will never pray. My spirit is occupied with feeling of hatred. Wrong. The true believer must be all the time having a good spirit, content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone will come and tell you, your husband is so and so. Number one, tell her, my sister, I love you. None of your business. No one is allowed in Islam to talk about the business of the others. You have some feelings towards my husband? Keep it for yourself. My husband, for me, is part of my marriage. My marriage is an act of worship, something between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't accept any discussion regarding my marriage. This has to be the attitude of the true believer. Yes, Why the people will all the time, we are living together to make the life of the other miserable? Oh, Noura, Noura, I'm very upset for you. Tell me, Mona, be upset for yourself first. Concentrate about your problems. If every one of us will concentrate on her problems, we will be better human beings. But we always forget about our problem, and we like to put our nose in the problem of the other people so that I will feel that others are not happy and I am more happy than them. Selfish behavior. Our problem nowadays is the selfish behavior. If you forget about yourself and you feel that life is a test, I am living life as an act of worship. Believe me, sister, I want you to try this. We have a long time in this actually topic, but again and again, all your feelings, all your acts in life will be changed when you decide with the true intention, I will live my life act of worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And because of this, I never say bad word. I never have bad intention. I never do anything bad for the people. I always try to help and support because I need the reward. People are happy, not happy. They say bad words about me, shout my husband, family-in-law, whatever. Big zero in the spirit of the believer. Very big zero. My spirit is full with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My mother-in-law comes to visit and she's treating me in a very unrespectable way, for example, intentionally to make me upset and to leave a fight between me and my husband. Okay? I never reply. And I treat her more better because I am a true believer. I am a very precious human being. I am connected with the only power. How I treat the people, how I can be like the other people whom they are living life to fight, to eat, to drink, and then Allah will know about them. Okay, now we will move to the next, which is the right choice. Then after the right choice, I think I will give you the break. Okay, actually the right choice, sister, inshallah, I hope that every sister will know about marriage before she chooses, you know, because you know, when you know about marriage and you are already married, it gives you hard time. So this is, inshallah, this is how we have to raise our daughters, you know, in the Muslim community, to teach her, you know, the reality of life, the reality of marriage, whom to choose, okay? Choosing the right husband if you want to have a successful marriage, it must be based on compatibility between the two partners. There should be common ground between them in the form of physical look, attitudes, habits, inclinations and aspirations. A Muslim woman who understands the teaching of her religion has wise and correct standards when it comes to choosing a husband. She doesn't, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, concern herself just with the good looks, high status, luxurious lifestyle. She looks at his values, attitude, and his level of religious commitment. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there comes to you one with whose religion and attitude, I will clarify to you the meaning of the hadith now, with his religion and attitude you are satisfied, then give him your daughter, this is for the father of the daughter, give him your daughter in marriage, for if you don't do so, okay, mischief will become widespread on the earth. Now, sisters, practically regarding to this hadith, okay, again and again, religion is not acts of worship. I am very sorry. Acts of worship is the relation between the believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The religion for the human being is how you treat the people around you. What about your attitude and discipline? This is the most important in reality. Don't evaluate a human being according to the outside acts of worship, because this is the most easy. Okay, I can put a headscarf, and I can put very long dress, and I can come and sit in every class in the masjid. One man will bypass and say, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, and I look down when no one is in the masjid, when men are outside, I can look from the side, nobody knows, Allah knows, okay? But everyone will say, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, excellent, excellent, excellent. What about her attitude? What about her manners? What about her values? What about her real religion? The outside acts of worship are not the reality at all of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equal to acts of worship plus manners, values, attitude, discipline. To everyone. You can know the reality of any human being through one act, through one deed. Not a deed, you know, which he is aware of, a deed which he is not aware of. Suppose you have someone who proposed for marriage, and he comes and say, I am praying the 5 times in the masjid, all praise to Allah, I did hajj, I am giving charity, fasting the month of Ramadan, all praise to Allah, I am very religious, this and that. Alhamdulillah, excellent. Allah will reward you for your worship. This is alhamdulillah, very good. Now, what about your values? What about your manners? What about the respect? What about cooperation? What about tolerance? You know, what about the rights of every human being? Okay, this is the most important. Because if you are a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will believe that every human being has rights. You will believe that I must fulfill the trust to everyone around you. Good manners is a must for the believer. If I love you, I will be having good manners with you. If I don't love you, I will fear Allah. Okay? But just to evaluate the husband or the wife through the outside picture or the acts of worship, this is totally wrong. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, religion and attitude. Okay? The problem nowadays, most of the Muslims, whom they want to show that they are very religious, they concentrate on the acts of worship. And their attitude, in reality, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. This is a marriage of loss. You will end with someone whom you never expect his reality. Because the one who is coming to the masjid 5 times, acting on all the people, not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will never fear you, Allah in you. Never. He will never give you any of your rights. He will do whatever he likes. Sympathy, affection and mercy will not be around. The one who acts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a deceiver and cheater with every human being. I am not looking for someone who is having acts. I am looking for someone who is a true believer, who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who believes that I have rights and that my wife has rights, and also who has sympathy, who has kindness. The true believer is very kind, sister. This is a fact which you must know. You can know the true believer when you evaluate the kindness of the heart. When he will see a child crying, he will try, you know, to sympathize with the child. But someone coming out of the masjid just praying, and he will see a child who is crying alone, looking for his father, where is my... He will just, you know, move towards his car, drive his car and leave a masjid. This is a very big question about his belief. The true believer is a very kind human being because he fears Allah all the time. He remembers Allah all the time. This is a child's responsibility. I have to run to him. He is crying. How come? What about my rule towards that child? This is the man whom you need. A man for responsibility. A man for trust. Not an acting man. Masjid, masjid, masjid. Islam is not acting. Islam is acts. Belief is what is in your heart. Then you translate it into action. Belief is deeds. Okay? So when you choose someone, you know, you always, one sister will come and tell me, Sister Mona, I want to marry someone. He's coming to the masjid. He's praying and this and that. I tell her, what about his attitude? No, I don't know anything about his attitude. Inshallah, it is good. inshallah, it is good. Yes. But if it is not good, it is your problem. Because Allah, Prophet Muhammad said, religion and attitude. But regarding the attitude, sisters, we must be realistic also. Okay? I am not supposed to look for an angel. No. Nowadays, this is the days of corruption. To find a human being who is 55%, above 50, just 55, to the right direction, this is very good. Most of the people are not to the right direction, even if they are acting. Okay? To find someone who is willing to treat you in a nice way, who is having the intention to make you happy, who is having the intention to sacrifice, to cooperate, to be one person, to live together in peace. I am for you, you are for me in reality. But if his circumstances are not so good, no problem. The good spirit will give you all the happiness. Happiness is not through the materialistic issues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the happiness in the spirit. When I feel that the spirit of my husband is kind for me, is affected with me, is looking for me, even if he doesn't have, you know, the money or the time or anything, this is enough for me. If my husband will call me from work telling me, Mona, I am very sorry. Dear, I am so sorry. Today I will come at 11 p.m. I will not eat with you, I can't hear any of the, participate or anything, but you know your role in my life. You know how you are important for me, in reality. This is what the spirit is looking for. You will be flying. You see, sister, this is the one whom you are looking for. The truth. The one who is honest and the one who is having, you know, the true sincerity. Okay.
But how long should you give it? Because in Islam, there's not dating. And if he says, and you ask him all these questions and he answers everything correctly, he's very good.
Yes.
And you talk to the people around him and you talk to his family, and mashallah, 5 years in the Quran house, very, very good. And then maybe, and you know, I'm talking about a friend, but maybe 6 months down the road, he doesn't pray anymore.
Yes.
How do you,
yes,
how
I
do
you tell
know?
You, this is the story of 70% of the people, not one person. Okay? You know, I tell you, Noura, at the beginning, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you must know that the more you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah will give you internal light. You know, by time you will feel the people. Whether they are talking or not talking, mentioning or not, when you look to the faces of the people, by time, you know, you will start to feel, alhamdulillah, with this person, alhamdulillah, I feel, inshallah, everything is all right. But with that person, high suspicion. You know, this is number one, your internal feeling. While you are obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be something, you know, this way, watch what they call it, chemistry. You know, it is not the chemistry. For the believer, it is the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some people whom you meet and they are, you know, they have everything. But you just sit with them for 5 minutes and you tell, no, I don't want to sit with these people anymore. In spite of the fact, you know, they can be, you know, very good friends, very prestigious friends, this and that, but no, I don't want to communicate. Because, you know, your heart will feel that they are not the honest or the sincere people, you know. They are not good people. The problem, sister, is that there are good people and there are bad spirits. I don't want to live my life with a bad spirit, inshallah. Sometimes this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you must know that in life there are, you know, questions. Life is a test. In the test there are hardship. Sometimes the hardship is in your husband. Sometimes the hardship is in your health. Sometimes the hardship is in your wealth. Sometimes the hardship is in your kids. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, up to him, he will give every one of us a hardship. You must try, inshallah, your best, okay, through your internal feeling. Then you do Salat al-Istikhara, okay, and then you check about that man, you know, the family and this and that. People must say the truth, mostly they are not saying the truth, okay, and then you say to Allah, oh Allah, I will depend on you. Mostly, you will not know the truth. But at least you try. You do Salat al-Istikhara and you try to feel it. And actually, when you talk, subhanAllah, maybe because I am old now, okay, maybe, you know, I can help my daughters. Okay, when you are old, okay, and you live, alhamdulillah, with the Quran and this and that, when you sit with the people, you know, at least after some time you can have a feeling about the reality of the people. They are true, you know, precious metals, or they are just, you know, they are not equal to nothing. The problem, again and again, I want to tell you, Nora, nowadays, to find the one whom you are looking for, a wife or a husband, not only the husband, it's not easy. Because most of the people are not obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the people, most of the Muslims, they are living for the worldly life. Even if they say, we love Allah for the sake of Allah. Only Allah knows the truth. Okay? So, to have someone ideal, this is impossible. Okay? Because most of the people now are not, you know, looking to be ideal. But to try to find someone to live with, okay, as I told you, Salat al-Istikhara, do dua to Allah other than Salat al-Istikhara. Salat al-Istikhara, and then, Allah, I am worried. Allah, I don't know. Allah, if He is not good, clarify to me. Allah, make everything clear. Allah, I don't want to have, you know, an experience, you know. Try everything. Then, if it turns that He is not the right one, at that point, you tell to yourself, this is the hardship of my life. My marriage looks to be the hardship of my life. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, no problem. Why? Because life is a test. Then question yourself. What is more easy for you to tolerate? To have hardship in your husband. What is the meaning of hardship in the husband? He is not saying the truth. He knows women. He is drinking. He is not spending, whatever bad manners he has. Ask yourself, my hardship, O Allah, is in my husband. Okay? Is it more easy for you to have the hardship in your health, to have the hardship in your kids, to have the hardship, for example, in your religion? Be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never putting any burden over a human being more than what he can tolerate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing every one of us according to our tolerance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that Mona can have the hardship in her husband, but she can't have it in her kids. She can't have it in her religion, for example. Or Mona can have the hardship in her health, but she can't have it in her husband. She will be mad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test every one of us and give us hardship according to our tolerance. So if the hardship in your life or in the wife of any sister, okay, the reality, because many sisters are under the impression that my hardship is in my husband. Allah knows the reality. You know, you must have the criteria, the right criteria, that in reality this is a hardship, not you are the hardship. Okay, but if in reality he is a hardship, again and again tell to yourself, all praise to Allah. Because Allah knows my limitations. And Allah knows that I can tolerate a burden more than, I can have a burden more than my tolerance. My husband is my tolerance. You must say to yourself this. You want to continue life with him, all praise to Allah. You will be rewarded if you can. Under one condition, kids will not pay a price for this experience. This is the most important point for me, the kids. You can tolerate, you can accommodate, you can do everything, keeping in mind that you have a healthy environment for the kids. The most important for the wife after marriage is her trust regarding her kids. You are happy with your husband. You are not happy with the husband. Try to evaluate this problem, keeping in mind the most important trust, your kids. If your kids will be happy with that father, they love him. He is very nice with them, but he is not good with you. He is treating you in a very bad way, but he is an excellent father. Okay, what will be the, you know, the point of view or the choice? From my point of view, And from the Islamic point of view, if you can tolerate him for the sake of Allah, because he will be still the only hardship in your life. Keep in mind, there must be a hardship in life. If he is a hardship for you, but he is very good with the kids, no problem. You can analyze the problem, okay, and inshallah we will find a solution. And all praise to Allah. Still the kids are happy, they have a father. Again and again, sisters, in the issue of marriage or in the problem of marriage, concept of marriage, don't evaluate it for yourself only. You will be a selfish mother and you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The family is you and the kids. So don't only concentrate on your relation with your husband. He is not good, he is not nice, I am not happy, I can marry another one. What about your trust? If you are not happy, why you have one? Two, I have one sister. I think I mentioned this before, you know, in my other classes. You know, she came to me, for example, 10 years ago. I'm not happy with my husband. He is the worst man on the earth. I must be divorced from him. So I will tell her, let us evaluate the problem, you know, try. She was having one kid. After 3 years, she will call me. Now she has three, because she has one and twins. Okay? Sister Mona, I can't tolerate with him anymore. So I tell her, all praise to Allah, you still have one kid. No, Sister Mona, now I have three. So why you have three now? If you are not happy with him because I have a twin, it was a mistake. I was not planning. This is Allah's decree. So I will tell her, now you have three. Let us evaluate the problem again. You are one and you have three. But the kids, they love their father. He is nice with them. Everything, he is not good with me. So I tell her, tolerate and be cautious. After 2 years, she will call me back. You know, now I have four. I tell her never to call me back. What is my problem? You are getting pregnant every year. Then you will put your problem for me. Why are you pregnant? So, you know, sister, this is how we are living. Getting married, having kids, complaining day and night. Complaining day and night with no improvement. So this is wrong, you know. I must evaluate, you know, the whole issue correctly, but this is actually will be, you know, different, you know. It will be up to every case, you know. You cannot have, you know, one point of view for everyone, but just you must be after the right choice, because the right choice, at least you tell to Allah, oh Allah, I tried my best to have the right choice. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you to get the right choice, all praise to Allah. If Allah make marriage to turn to be a hardship, still this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, you will try to handle it according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I will tell you another rule, then we will have the break within 5 minutes. Okay? Marriage issue needs a lot of discussion. Needs a lot of, you know, to feel that you have an outlet. You must say everything. Okay? The problem in America is that maybe you are reverse sisters and you don't have your family, and your family is different religion, so they will not understand, you know, what you are discussing. For us, you know, coming, leaving our countries, immigrants, still also I don't have my family, I don't have my mother or my... But again and again, sisters, all praise to Allah, we have Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our sisterhood in Islam. If I don't have my sister, you know, in Egypt, I have all my sisters in Islam, all praise to Allah. We can have this discussion meeting every week, and we can discuss it. And if you don't want to say your problem, you can write it. Then we discuss it. Then we meet again. Actually, you know, this marriage counseling, you know, is a must, especially in when you are living, you know, this kind of life. You are not with your family, and everyone is under the impression, I'm very lonely. I don't have anyone, you know, to tell to her everything. While I am not worried, while I am not shy, you know, because when you will tell your problem to, for example, your sister, they will try to put it in a beautiful shape. And you will always try to put the blame on the other side. But with your mother, you know, you can say all the truth. You see, sometimes, okay? So actually, you know, in America, we must, you know, have these kinds of meeting. And why to feel shy? You must feel, sister, that so long Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the truth. Allah knows all the truth. Why I feel shy from the people? What is the business of the people in my life? This is number one. Number two, when we discuss together, you know, we are one person. Sisters in Islam are one person. Your secret is my secret. Your happiness is my happiness. Your success is my success. We must be, you know, that kind. We must have this kind of relation. This is how Islam will make us to feel that we are a family. I never lose my family. And actually, when I call my sister in Egypt, I always tell her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace me. I have only one sister blood, you know, by blood. I always tell her, all praise to Allah. Allah give me sisters from all over the world. She is telling me, Mona, you are not calling me, you know, so frequent. I always tell her because I'm talking with my sisters, alhamdulillah, in the classes so frequent, alhamdulillah. So I don't have this feeling of loneliness or looking for my sister, real sister. No, there is no real sister, sisters. We are real sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to meet in the masjid in this time. Why? Because this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the psychological support. You are not alone. There are other sisters. Everyone has a problem. Life is hardship. You are not alone in your problem. All of us, all praise to Allah. But all praise to Allah, we are believers. And we can support each other. And we can sit and have nice time and talk. And then you will have a push to obey the commands of Allah, to be patient, not to reply, to go home satisfied, feeling that so long I am obeying Allah, everything will be all right. There is hope. You will have a message which will help you and support you more than if you have a conversation with any other person in life. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sisters. Okay? I think now I will give you a break. And I will have a break. We call Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And this will be the beginning. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever is not thankful to the people is not thankful to Allah. I am greatly thankful to Sister Noura. She came to the masjid and she stayed 3 hours alone. She prepared the tables. She prepared everything. She adjusted everything. And she did an effort which in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am very thankful to you. جَذَاكَ اللَّهُ كُلَّ خَيْرٍ. May Allah reward you and accept your deed for His sake. This I must say it because this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't be thankful to Allah except when you are thankful to the people. And one sister, if there is another woman you have confronted her, he denies it, but there are emails. How do you rebuild the trust? You know, sisters, number one, have the trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any human being can do anything. Okay, just be ready for anything. Okay? This is subhanallah. Actually, it is difficult. And it is not good to have, you know, your husband to know someone or to have phone calls or to have emails or whatever. This is not good, okay? But subhanallah, nowadays, this issue of the cell phone, chatting, Facebook, emails, subhanallah, is too much. And also because, you know, of the bad manners and values around, a lot of women not married, okay? And because of the plastic surgery, all the issues are confused. Every husband is under the impression that, you know, all the women will be after him. And there are many women, you know, whom they just want to have relation with men to have, you know, money from them or feeling or anything, not for marriage. Corruption is around. Okay? So, the possibility that any husband, even the most religious, okay, at a time, one day we'll have maybe some emails, phone calls, or anything with any woman, this is a possibility for everyone. It will be a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again and again, sisters, marriage is an act of worship. You are living the marriage for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? You must live according to the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My only advice for this condition is to ignore it completely, as if you don't. Because if you show to your husband that you know, he must take a decision. You will either leave him, or he will divorce, or he has to say that I don't know this woman, he will be a liar. If you lose the trust in your husband by saying to him, no, you are not a liar, he will tell you, no, I am not a liar, no, you know her, I have the emails, I have the phone calls, you know, and you keep on doing this with him, he will never change. He will be keeping the same relation. He will just try to hide it, and he will be a liar. At this moment, in reality, your spirit will never trust him, because you are sure that he knows someone, and he is saying to you, I don't know anyone. Okay? At that moment, you will be the one to be in a bad shape, because you are living your life with a cheater and a liar and a deceiver, and you are continuing the life. Every night you will ask yourself, why I have to continue this life? Okay? Unfortunately, if you leave your husband, okay, always evaluate the condition. Before discussing the problem with your husband, always discuss all the possibilities. If I leave him, just yesterday, subhanAllah, I watched the television. They have the best psychologist in Egypt. Okay? And actually, he is one of the best psychologists all over the world. So he was saying, you know, he was having, for the first time, long conversation on the television. He was never having conversations on the television. So he was asked by one, you know, wife, suppose I know about my husband, this is the same question. He told her, try to show that you don't know. If you show that you know, okay, it will be your dignity that you must leave your husband. This means that you give your husband to the other woman. Don't give your husband to the other woman. Don't be foolish. He is your husband. You lived with him, you sacrificed with him, and there were some good times with him. This is a mistake, no problem. Everyone may have a mistake. Life is hardship. But don't give you... Actually, I remember his words. Don't give your husband to the other woman. No. Keep silent. Be patient. Do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Treat him in a very good way so that he will feel guilty. He will be all the time thinking, I am cheating her, I am deceiving her, I am not, you know, nice with her, I am not giving her her rice, but she is nice and she is calm and she is silent. Okay? He will be always in a guilty feeling. This is number one. Number two, do supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is again hardship from Allah. This is again the way for, you know, the reward from Allah. This is the reality of the world life. Again and again, check with yourself. What is more better in my life, to be diagnosed as having cancer or to have my husband as having a relation with a woman? Let him have a relation with 100 women. He is not a good person. Allah will punish him. Okay? What is better for you? That Allah will punish your husband, or you will have this kind of illnesses, or you will lose your child in car accident or whatever hardships of life? A man whom a woman, it is always the woman. I want you to clarify to you, it is always the other woman whom she will be after the man. Then, subhanAllah, the shaitan will make him to, you know, to talk to her or whatever. What is the problem? Your dignity? Yes, let us analyze it psychologically. Your dignity, what is the meaning of your dignity? Your dignity is that you are a true believer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And life is hardship. I can have hardship from anything in my life. All praise to Allah that your kid is not addicted on medication, on you know, this cocaine or whatever. Life, yes, drugs. Be thankful to Allah that your husband didn't become addicted on drugs. Then he will spoil all the money and he will beat you and he will do very bad things. Your hardship is, alhamdulillah, acceptable. My husband, you know, is not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will punish. For me, I will show as if I don't know anything. I will just keep on praying to Allah to show him the right way and to finalize this relation, okay? And to make problems between him and that woman. Then sisters, again and again and again. I don't want your spirit to be occupied by the hardship of the life. Life is full of blessings. This actually was my class for last Monday. I can't live my life only through my hardship. When you tell me, Salamu alaykum, how are you? I tell you, you know, my daughter is so and so. You know, my husband is so and so. You know, what is this? This, we are not living this life, you know, sister, our worldly life, in order to have everything. No, I am living this life because it is a test. So I am not supposed to occupy my spirit with the hardship. No, the hardship will be at the margin of my spirit. Normal. Nowadays, my husband is having a problem. After 3 years, maybe my daughter will marry and she will not have kids. After 5 years, I will start to become sick. If I am still alive, something else will happen. Life, hardship, normal, on the margin of my spirit. But my spirit, all praise to Allah, is full of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Life is a test. I need to pray well. I need to have good health. I need to have good psychological condition. I need to work. I need to support myself. No one will support you if you don't support yourself. I must support myself and take care of myself. To take care of yourself equal to have all the hardship on the margin of your spirit. Someone will tell you, you are not taking any steps for this hardship to get rid of it. You will tell her, I am taking a lot of steps. Number one, I am doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, I am trying to be patient because patience will be a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, I am living in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My husband is not in a good shape with me, but I have good health, I have good belief, I have provision. Nowadays, every 10 Americans, there is one who is jobless. Shelter. Need. We are staying in our homes. We have everything. But my feelings are hurted because my husband is so and so. What is your husband? If you don't find bread to eat, if you don't have a roof to live under, what will be your situation? So always try to minimize your hardship. Put it in its real dimensions. A man who is doing something wrong. Every day in the newspaper you read about a congressman or, you know, a lawyer or a very respectable... Yes, every day. Your husband is... I will bring it to you.
When it's going that far that it's not just emails that will be exchanged, yes. When it's going, ending up where we, with intercourse or something like that,
yes.
And maybe this man will sleep with you too,
yes.
And you will get sick, what happens then?
No, this is very dangerous. I tell you why, because
this
of AIDS.
This is my help. Then.
Yes, this is your health. So I tell you one thing, to tell you the truth. If it is up to, you know, have this to sleep with the women and with that woman, okay. For that situation, you know, you must, you know, have a decision. You know, because actually nowadays, sister, this is the problem of the AIDS. You know, Muslims are not giving this problem its real concern. Nowadays, AIDS is all over. All over. You don't know who has AIDS, who doesn't have AIDS. Okay, and there are many people, they have AIDS and they never say. This is the problem. Yes, and as, what's your name, Catherine?
Cody.
Cody, she's mentioning that maybe the husband of anyone of us, you know, he's having a relation with someone whom she has AIDS. He doesn't know. Then he will come to his wife, he will give her the AIDS. Okay, so actually, to tell you the truth, if it comes to this, you know, extent of relation, no, this is not allowed. This is the situation, you know, and actually you have the right, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, because actually to sleep with a woman without marriage, this is, you know, zina, you know, in English, adultery, okay, and this is not allowed in Islam. If he come and tell you, I marry someone, okay, we can discuss it, because marriage is acceptable in Islam under special conditions. But if you know that he is, you know, sleeping with someone, having a relation with someone, and that someone, you are not sure, she is, you know, a good human being, or she is someone whom she has AIDS and relation with men, no. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He commanded us, you know, in the Quran, He said, and don't put yourself, in the disasters by yourself. Okay, if I know this, this means that I may lose my health. At this point, the wife has the right, to tell him, you have to choose between me and her, or you want to continue life with me for the sake of the kids, don't come close to me at all. Okay, just for the sake of the kids. At that point, maybe he will rethink it over, to give him, some time interval to think it over. Okay, for the sake of the kids, think it over, either me or her. Okay? And actually, if you show to your husband that you can live with him while he will not come close to you at all, he will start to feel very guilty. Because he will feel that you ignore him completely. You are not in need of him. He will think it over. Okay? And then do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sister, this is the biggest problem now. The biggest problem now is some of the husbands, they think that they can have a relation for 2 weeks or 1 month with a beautiful young woman, and forget it, then I will return to my wife. You may return to your wife with AIDS. You see, this is the biggest problem. This is the importance of the manners and values, and the belief in Allah, which we Muslims are ignoring now totally. So this is actually the answer of the first question. Let me answer the second one. You spoke of husband-wife make a good marriage when each side to make a complete rounded partners. If we women do everything to make our side and he doesn't do his part to make it complete, how do you help him to do his part? It is up to his personality. If he is a person to listen, you can talk to him. And repeat, because he is the person to listen. Okay? And again, sisters, I must clarify to you a very important point. The only way to change your life is the supplication, sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every prayer, while you are in the sujood, while you are down, very close to Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, give me patience. Oh Allah, make me to tolerate. Oh Allah, change him. Oh Allah, all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اسْتُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Do dua to me and I will answer. You must do dua every prayer. Why? You are driving your car. Oh Allah, I'm very upset today because of so and so. Oh Allah, please help me. Oh Allah, support me. When I go home, I want everything to be alright. I'm not in a good shape now for anything. Oh Allah, oh Allah. Always do the conversation with Allah in the form of the dua. This will relieve you. Inshallah, Allah will answer you. Try with your husband if he is the kind to listen. Okay, try in a good way. Again and again, sisters. Fighting, pushing, quarreling, this is a loss for both of you. Okay? And again, why I will live with someone whom the only way to live with him is fighting? What is this? I am living, Allah creates me to fight. Okay? Either to live in a peaceful environment while we are in a good relation together, or to live still in a peaceful environment while we are a little bit away from each other. If he is the one to listen, try with him all the time. And do dua, inshallah he will be changed. There are many husbands whom they never listen. This, the one who never listen, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do dua to Allah and don't ask him for anything. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my personal advice. Sometimes when you keep on saying to your husband, can you do this? Can you do that? Would you please? This and that. Sometimes, he will start to be tough with you because he doesn't want to listen. His attitude will be with you will be very tough. Then you will be very upset. Why? And he will never change except by the command of Allah. So again and again, forget about the human being. Make your relation with Allah more stronger. Sisters, I hope that you are praying Fajr prayer. Okay, it is around 5 o'clock now. Okay, but in Fajr prayer and 5 minutes before Fajr prayer, 5 minutes before Fajr prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the first closest heaven and He says, whoever is looking for something to be done for him, let him and her do supplication to me. Supplicate to me and I will answer you. Ask forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. And again, sisters, and to prove to you that you are my rare sisters, I am living my life through this half an hour before Fajr prayer. When Allah is down, I will meet Him in prayer while I am in the sujood. And when you feel that you are close to Allah, you will cry from the depths of your heart. Because you will tell to Allah, oh Allah, you know everything. And you know how my situation is so difficult. And how I can't show this to anyone. And how I have to tolerate. And I don't have any power. And I am lost. And I am alone. And everything is up to you only, oh Allah, take care of everything for me. Do for me this. Do for me that. This outlet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a loss of spiritual power. Believe me, when I start to pray, you know, suppose now Fajr prayer is 5:05. Try to adjust the clock for 4:30. Tell to yourself, this is the only way to save my spirit, to save my body, to save my life, to save my worship, my future, my kids. I must call on the only power. And well, when He said, call on me, I will answer you. Allah comes down for us and we are sleeping. I can't sleep while Allah is down. The addendum. Because you clarify to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you believe in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace all these feelings, you know, with the feeling of support and hope and tranquility. You can't imagine after you will do this, you know, you will send all the message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you raise, then you do sujood again, all the time down. This is not the time to read Quran much, only small surah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ whatever. But the most important, I want to convey the message to Allah. While He is down, He said, call on me, I will answer you. Okay, Allah, I have this big list of problems. Okay? And repeat it in the second rak'ah. And then whatever time, you can pray 2 rak'ahs only. In these 2 rak'ahs, keep mostly down. Repeating, crying, try to cry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes only the true believers to cry from their, you know, with tears and tears. Everything, whatever makes me mad, never change. It will never happen. This to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be sure, sisters, that inshallah Allah will make for you an outlet which you never expect. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the morning, don't complain to your husband. Don't say anything. Let him do whatever he likes. Okay, if anyone tell you, how are you? All praise to Allah. I am in the best shape. You have a problem? Alhamdulillah, I'm living in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because I convey the message to the only one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, Prophet Jacob, the father of Prophet Yusuf, okay, he lost his son for 18 years. And then he lost the other son. And when they asked him, you know, the other sons, you know, he has 11. What are you doing all these years? Why you never complain? He said to them, I complain. I only convey my sadness and my complaint to Allah. And I know what Allah will do. And Allah make him to have the 2 sons again. And to make Yusuf to be, you know, the big leader in Egypt. And he brought his father and he told him, you see my father now, what is my situation? When you only have the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone and come and tell you no hope, tell her sister you don't know Allah. Please don't talk to me about the hope because I believe in Allah. If you are a believer in Allah, there is hope. Because Allah is the power. So long I believe in the power, there is hope with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I must be obeying the commands. I must be true believer. I must be always connected. All of these 1, 2, 3 will make your spirit the best spirit in the world. Alhamdulillah. This is the healthy spirit. Other than these sisters, If you try with the human being, convincing the human being, talking to the human being, discussing with the human being, you will never have a healthy spirit. Because nowadays, human beings are extremely selfish. This is the problem of our days, selfishness. Even I am telling to my daughters, you know, when I talk to my daughters, when I tell her, how are you, she will say, me. About, I tell her, don't mention yourself at all. I am complicated with the selfishness. Talk about me, about your mother. Don't think about yourself. Why everyone in our life now is just talking about myself? With salamu alaykum, I will not tell you how are you, I tell you, I want to tell you. Complaint. Some complaint. I will not tell you, how are you? I care for you. I want to make you happy. I want to help you. Can you help me? Can you take care of me? Can you give me? Can I take your eyes? No problem. I have two eyes and I will take your eyes also. Spare. Spare part. This is the nature of the human being. Forget about the human beings. Okay, and live with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Still I have 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Actually these are closed, you know, not, I don't know. It is now 8:35. You know, I don't want to be late after 9 o'clock. Okay, because I still have to drive for 15 minutes or 10 minutes. So now, what do you think? We can have another meeting if you are looking for, you know, inshallah, especially before the month of Ramadan. Because during the month of Ramadan, it may be difficult, the masjid will be busy with prayers and this. So if you are looking to have next week, inshallah, okay, we can have it next week. You prefer Saturday or Sunday? Saturday? Okay, let us make it 6:30. Better than 5:30 and sister do not show. Okay, so we'll make it inshallah next week from 6:30 to 8:30. Okay, do you agree that I can keep this closed like this until next week? I will not open it. Okay, we will open it together. I will put it in the same file regarding the class. Inshallah.